Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talks with Angela Butler. Today the guest is Grandmaster Craig R. Smith. Welcome to Show Talks, Grandmaster Smith. I know you are a Grandmaster. I hear you were promoted. What is your title?
I was given the title Senior Grandmaster by my teacher, C. Joe Steve Muhammad. He actually called me that and introduced me to that title in Atlanta 2 months ago to his new students and new stage. And I promoted one of my students to Grandmaster 2 weeks ago. I have six at this point grandmasters under me. So it was time for them to just, I guess, bump me and give me a little breathing room from them. So I am now called Senior Grandmaster.
Okay, Senior Grandmaster. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to tell my listeners how you know Bruce Lee?
Well, my connection to Bruce Lee is through Edmund Kealoha Parker Sr., who had a student by the name of Dan Inosanto. Dan Inosanto, let me just explain a little. Mr. Parker's background is he's the founder of American Kenpo. And Dan Inosanto was a student of Mr. Parker at the time. And he also was one of the teachers of my teacher, C. Joe Steve Muhammad. And at that time, his name was Steve Sanders, along with Chuck Sullivan and Ed Parker. They taught C. Joe Muhammad. And Bruce Lee used to train, and he wanted to be the best. And in order to be the best, you have to study the best. You have to watch them. And he studied everyone from Muhammad Ali to Jersey Joe Walcock to Joe Louis to my teacher, C. Joe Steve Muhammad, whom he called the fastest man alive. He considered him just a brilliant martial artist. Of course he is. He didn't get that wrong. I met Bruce Lee in 1964 at the first International Karate Championships in Long Beach Arena. Of course, I was all but 9 years old. And so he didn't mean much to me, at that time. I didn't know much about him. I did see the demonstration that he gave, which was extraordinary. But I was a young guy at the time, and the only person that was important to me was my teacher, C. Joe Steve Muhammad, who, by the way, is still very important to me today. We had the opportunity to be in the movie Enter the Dragon, which was filmed at our karate school on 103rd and Western in South Central Los Angeles, California. And so we also had the opportunity of seeing him again. But again, our connection is through Dan Inosanto, who became a disciple or the second or the right hand of Bruce Lee in the 60s. He left Ed Parker and started traveling and working with Bruce Lee. And that's our connection. It's through a huge family connection. And quite frankly, I think that I can say today that he is part of our family, and I'm a part of his family, the Jeet Kune Do and Wing Chun family. And he's a part of American Kenpo, as well as many other systems that he studied. It's been an honor, and I've been very, very blessed to be a part of some wonderful martial artists, men and women on a high level, and I'm still honored today.
Okay, that's wonderful. All right, you went Enter the Dragon. All right, that's a film. All right.
It's actually one of the greatest, if not the greatest martial art film of all time. And if you see the movie today, you look in the movie, it's the only, if you see our scene at our karate school on 103rd and Western, it actually depicts real people. We weren't actors. The scene was not You know, we weren't, it wasn't a prop karate school. Now the rest of the movie is all prop, all set up. You know, you have stand-ins, you have some, probably some, there are a few real martial artists in there as well. Matter of fact, Jackie Chan was one of the stunt people in Enter the Dragon as well. But this movie and this scene in Enter the Dragon where, in our karate school is the only real point in the movie, and it's very historic, very historic. The Black Karate Federation, which was founded in 1969 by some wonderful men, Cecil Steve Muhammad, Jerry Smith, Clint Stewart, Ron Chappell, Bishop Darlene Williams, and I am also one of the founding members of the Black Karate Federation. So, by the way, they didn't even give us any credit in the movie, so they didn't give no mention of the Black Karate Federation. But if you see it today, still, you can walk into our karate school and see what was going on today, back then in 1972.
All right. Well, Senior Grandmaster Craig R. Smith, why have you decided to speak so publicly about pedophiles within the school system? What motivated you?
What motivates me, you know, when you have, when you see children, first of all, as a teacher, you know, I used to be, you know, a student myself, a child myself.
Yes.
Most of at one point. And I started teaching when I was really little. I had the opportunity to teach men when I was a child. I was given that opportunity by my teacher. But when you're thinking about, you know, the when I was little, I just was totally into what I was doing. Whether I'd be in the school curriculum doing math or art, music or whatever, the teacher was extremely important because the teacher has to guide the student to go in the direction that the student really wants to go, you know, and we have to protect, as a teacher, we have to protect that child, and we have to look at that child as if that child is our own, and for anyone to use, for any pedophile or someone who abuses the children, to use the teacher, to being a teacher as a shield, to do the things, the negative things that they do to the children is absolutely, it really bothers me. And I tell you that I know that a lot of martial artists, and I'll speak on that area, teachers who get to a high level, and they think that because they got a black belt, they can go teach now. And I want to tell all you parents that are listening, don't think that because this person has a high kick and a hard punch and he has a so-called certificate on the wall that he is capable of teaching your son, your daughter. You better do some investigation work on that individual there. Because, quite frankly, I have seen an individual here, matter of fact, in L.A., who was a teacher from New York. He had a lot of students and a great martial artist. I considered him really good. And one day I went into the YMCA where we both taught different times, and they told me that the FBI came in there and arrested him in handcuffs. This guy was a fugitive. He had molested 27 children in New York, and he ran, went on the run, came out here to L.A., and hid in a karate school around children. And then you have a lot of martial artists, or so-called martial artists, who go around the different churches and ask to teach and ask the pastor or the individuals who run the church if they could teach the children. You got to be aware of those people. And I'm here to say right now that all you martial artists, all you teachers that are doing the wrong thing as opposed to the right thing to our youth, you're going to be held accountable. And I'm talking to you martial art teachers, you so-called masters and grandmasters. you're going to be held accountable. You know, we see it all the time. Every day there's someone kidnapping, molesting, or doing something that is just absolutely ungodly to our youth. And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired, especially seeing the so-called martial artists doing this. I would like to challenge all the martial artists out there that are doing the right thing to step up and, you know, and turn in your friend, you know, supposedly. If you see him doing something that's not appropriate, speak on it, and don't hide it, and like they did at Penn State. You know, don't run from something that is so horrendous. Don't do it. Stand up, take your place, and expose the pedophiles who are posing as teachers.
All right. What are some things that can be done to teach children and parents so child molesters or pedophiles can be prevented from, so child molestation can be prevented from happening?
I think you know, it's really important that the parents and have a really good rapport with their children, and they tell them about this type of thing, that these things could happen. This is not Disneyland. You know, we can't sugarcoat and water down the truth. We have to tell our children the truth and what's happening and what could happen out here in the real world. And if we have this dialogue with our children, they will respect us even more. They will. The parent is the first teacher, and the parent gives any other teacher the opportunity and the privilege to work with their child. Now that teacher has a responsibility. Now, if that parent gives and allows that teacher or that school, that curriculum, whether it be the unified school district, wherever it may be, or a martial arts school or any other unaccredited school, they give that teacher or that organization or that institute the opportunity to work with their youth. That their youth should be extremely important, and even more so than we are making them today. We should really go in there and make sure that every single one of the teachers have the right credentials. And we can, I mean, what's wrong with investigating their background? You know, they investigate our background when we go get a job to, you know, that we might be overqualified for. They want to find out who we are. So what's wrong with going and investigating and finding out Who are you giving your children to? There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. And so therefore, we should, as parents, educate our children first. We're the first teachers. So we should educate them before we give them to someone else. And when we give them and when we allow that other teacher, we can get in that teacher's face and let them know, if you put your hands on my child In the wrong way, you're going to be held accountable.
Okay. All right. That's a point well made, and it's a point that needs to be made. What more can be done by the school system to prevent the pedophiles from working within the school system? Is there anything more the United States school systems can do? Do you think there is?
Yes. You know, again, you know, as teachers get complacent, you know, you go to, and quite frankly, in any workforce, you go to work, you know, and you just take things for granted. You know, you got somebody who supposedly went through school, he went through all the things that he was, or she was supposed to go through to get their accreditation. And yet, you know, we don't really know what's going on emotionally with that individual. So we have to really find out what's going on with one's psyche. If one has some type of problems, emotional problem, or prior to even going to school, some teachers have, you know, they've gone through a life as well. And, you know, life is not, you know, a bowl of cherries and, you know, and it's full of difficulties. Everyone is going to face them. And yet, it's ordained for all of us. So at the same time, we need to find out and be clear that as especially the leaders in the school, that they should go, they have to really go through this mental a training. Find out whether they're really ready to deal with you, to deal with the children, whether they, you know, there's some children are much more, you know, sharper than some of the teachers. And but again, the child has to truly, or rather the teacher has to truly be investigated much more thoroughly than they have been. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry to keep rattling on, but I'm just, I get very upset and disappointed.
I know, that it upsets me too. It upsets me too. Now, I'm going to say something. If you don't agree with it, just tell me. But I was thinking, while you're talking, maybe the parents can help their children distinguish between good and bad lies. I know people say there are no good lies and there are no bad lies, good lies. But like such as we're planning a surprise birthday party for mom. So if she asks, we're going to have a party, tell her no. That would be a good lie. I just let me keep talking, okay? But a bad lie is I'll give you some candy to let me check your private card. Now, what I'm getting at is good and bad lies. I believe that children learn to keep secrets at an early age, okay? That you do not understand the difference in a lie. And that's my lie theory. They don't understand the difference. So when an adult tells them to keep something a secret or to lie, they automatically do it. Do you agree with this?
Well, I think, you know, as you were stating, if we as parents and we tell our children if anyone outside of that you don't know tells you to keep a secret, then you say, no, I'm not going to keep a secret. You know, my mother and my father told me not to keep secrets that a stranger, I don't know you, sir. You're my teacher. Why are you telling me to keep a secret? No, I'm not going to do it. My mother and my father told me not to because it's wrong, you know, and especially if you're telling me not to tell somebody that you're putting your hands on me. See, and again, you know, we have to start making our little children, they can be 3 years old, and they can tell 2 years old. I know some children that are talking at two, holding conversations. But the parent, I'm telling you, and I know this, and I know most of you parents know this, if we take our children from day one, and we educate them in this, in the ways of the world and how wrong it is, you know, how wrong it is. Or if you tell them this is right, and if you're doing, if anything goes in this area, if you stay in this area here, then you're okay. But if anything that comes at you that's contrary to what I'm telling you right now, that is absolutely wrong, and you run, you scream. You tell, you know, you do whatever it takes to ward off the enemy, that devil, demonic mindset of a man or a woman or even a child that's not given the right spirit, you know, it can really ruin more than one person because it's infectious. So,
yes.
You know, you're right, you know, and what you're saying, you know, and we, our children, you know, they feel that if a child steals, if he takes your change, you know, you have some leftover change, and the child takes your change that you didn't ask without your permission, and he, and you look and see the change, you go, well, son, daughter, did you take daddy's money? And they go, no. Well, you know they lied because you know that they, you know, had access to it. They don't want to tell the truth because they think that if they tell the truth about it, that they're going to get in trouble. But they're getting, in actuality, they get more trouble if they lie. You see, they'll get more trouble if they hide a secret. That's wrong. That's a lie. So that's what we have to educate our children about and really put it and instill in their mindset that wrong, anything that's wrong, is unacceptable. Or to put in their mindset this, think good and positive thoughts and you will do good and positive deeds. You know, in other words, everything that we put inside of them is good and positive. And so they will automatically run from anything that is not good and positive, because it won't be it won't assist them in the manner in the direction where they're going. And that really truly starts from the house. It has to.
Okay.
And we have to, as parents, we have to really get on our children or youth that we mentor, you know, whether it be our own, but it could be someone that needs mentoring, and we have to tell them the truth and put the truth inside of them. I think it's easier said than done, but it's not impossible.
Okay. What are you doing, Brother, you and your establishment, the Black Karate Federation, I believe, to help parents be more aware?
No. I am the founder and creative director of the Original Warrior Association.
Warriors.
You know, I want to continue to put that out there. The Original Warrior Association recognizes the legends, the pioneers, and heroes of the community. And it is the umbrella for the Honest for Youth program, the umbrella for the Institute of Strategic Principles, the umbrella for the Three Kings Community Advancement Institute, the umbrella for Kulap Sal, the Law of the Flowing Grabbing Hand, the umbrella for the Original Warrior Martial Art Championships, the Dr. Martin Luther King Team Karate Championship. We have a lot of things that are housed and are subsidiaries of the Original Warrior Association. Now, Original Warrior Association. Anybody spells my name right, and you put the Original Warrior Association on Google, it's going to connect my name to it. My name is connected to it, and it's connected to me. So now, the thing is that I have a program called the Honest for Youth. And the Honest for Youth program is to recognize and to honor the youth that are doing good at home, good deeds at school, and outstanding deeds in the community. And we have to really, give our youth a pat on the back. All the time,
right.
You know,
that's
and not and look at their homework. Don't tell them, oh, do your own. Did you do it? Ask them. Let me see your homework, and communicate with your children. I don't care what you're doing. You know, you might be doing the wrong thing, but stop for a minute and do the right thing by your child, because our children should be greater than us. You know, the tree is no greater than the fruit it bears. We should have everybody's children, this youth here, should be powerful and should lift us up. We shouldn't be lifting our children up and carrying them on our back. They should be carrying us on their back. My son just graduated from Upper Darby High School in Pennsylvania. He is in college now. He's in college now, in a dorm right now, and it's not even school. Hasn't even started yet. He is a coach. Of a league basketball team. They're in the playoffs. He's the coach. He is the main coach. His assistant coaches are men my age. I'm 57 years old. He's 18 years old. He is the head coach. So what I'm saying is this, is that if we really put forth and always tell our children, pay attention to your positive objective, you will be successful if you stay on the right track. We have to keep doing this for our youth. We have to keep doing this and keep them away from anyone and stay on them. Is anybody bothering you? Are you okay? That's how I am. So I think that, and I'm saying this about my son because I'm very, very proud. He's my hero. And I think that the youth of today, rather than be a detriment to the society, they should be an asset to society. And the only way that we're going to do that is to do right by them and not wrong by them.
That's right. Jerry Sandusky, I know you've heard about Penn State. It's been all on the news. But Jerry Sandusky had a foundation at Penn State College do you believe that Penn State officials could have did more to stop him or to investigate him? Do you feel that Penn State College could have did more?
Listen, I have a cousin who's Grandmaster Marvin Brown. He's one of the president of the Original Way Association. He knew about Sandusky when he was in college. He knew about him then. So I don't care how good a person is. If he's doing something that's wrong, that is harmful to our youth, you got to punish him. You got to do something to stop him in his tracks. And there are people afraid to stand up and do the right thing. And for those individuals who are afraid to stand up and do the right thing, and who will continue to allow someone who is being harmful, they need to be held accountable as well. So it's like a man who is doing, he had allies. In other words, all those individuals who they were his allies. You know, so they need to be held accountable as well. So it's unfortunate that this man has been doing what he's been doing for years, and he's done harmful acts to probably hundreds of youth, and tried to do harmful acts to possibly thousands of youth. And as I stated, you know, we have to be careful of the individuals who are working around our youth, because we want our child to be a basketball star or a football star or a baseball star. And this man comes up and says, I can help him out because he's in the big place. He's got the big office. You better investigate me. You know, I tell every parent when they come to me, I want you to know who I am. Don't just walk up and ask me what style I teach, you know, and I want to, oh, your price is fine. No, I want you to do your investigation of me, make sure I say I am who I say I am, and then you come back to me. Do your investigation. And, yes, I think it's absolutely, have to look around and think about the people, the ministers and the priests and all those individuals that are in positions of power, as it were, that use that power to do harm to our youth and also do harm to adults as well. There are a lot of adults who succumb to the doctors, you know, and teachers and ministers, and we have to really not be so gullible and so innocent minded to let somebody abuse us. Do not let them, ladies, men, don't abuse these women. You know, ladies, if you're being abused mentally or physically, stand up and put a stop to it. You don't have to allow anyone to make you anything other than you are. A person who is loved by God, and if anybody doesn't, you know, treat you the way you want to be treated, then you need to do what needs to be done. That's just how I feel about it.
Okay.
I'm just very upset. Yes, I'm sorry.
Very upset, yes. I'm upset too, but I'm going to continue the show. What more can be done by the criminal justice system to prevent these pedophiles or child molesters from getting out and repeating their crime? What do you feel can be done by the criminal justice system?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, if a person goes in, if he's convicted of a crime, he's given the time that is due the crime, and you know, I mean, you know, depending on what that person has done, if a person has done anything to a child, I don't really believe he should be coming out of prison. That's just me, you know. Now, there's a lot of different types of justice too inside of the penal system in the prisons. You know, there are a lot of inmates that they frown hard on child molesters and pedophiles. So they really should put those people in the you know, what is the population of the that in those individuals, and let them give them their form of justice. It's very difficult for, you know, someone to release a prisoner, and that prisoner, you know, he was paroled, whatever he's done, and it's difficult for them to believe that person may not do anything again. So they have to, I mean, you know, I just believe that at this particular point we should try to stop it before it happens, and we have to try to do it that way. I don't really have any answers for the others. I can give a whole lot of different opinions and alternatives, but I really believe that we should stop it before it starts. We can do that by starting in the house and the parents who raise the pedophiles. We need to and the ones who are doing the harm to the children, to themselves. They should be held accountable as well. So it starts at the home. I believe that. We have to try to stop it before it starts.
All right. In some states, the former incarcerated person to register the towns or cities they reside in. You've already pretty well answered the question, but do you think that is enough, or should more be done? The fact that once they do their time, they have to register in the town or city and things like that, register their names and all. Obviously, do you think that's enough?
Yeah, I mean, it's something, but they also should have someone who is placed there to watch, you know, to watch that individual, you know, I'm talking about having someone really, sometimes they allow them to go to the States and they don't tell the neighborhood that they have a pedophile in the neighborhood. But you know, they should have somebody watching that individual, especially if they're extremely, based on what they've done, because they're more than likely going to do it again, you know, and they want to place themselves around schools and around children. So it's a hard thing to monitor, you know. It's just a lot of them out here we don't know nothing about. Believe me, there's more out in the street that are in the prison system, you know, and, you know, walking through the mall, you know, at the beach, at the movie show.
I can already hear you answering this question. I already know what you're going to say. Do you believe that a pedophile can be reformed?
No.
Okay. All right.
As I stated that, we have to try to stop it before it starts. You know that. You know, once those things start, I just don't think that you can repress some type of. It's just I can't see it. That's a devil. That's like telling the devil, I'm gonna teach you how to love. And not to do the devilish thing, you know, because once a person does some things like that, that's a straight demon, you know. That's a person that is that has no consideration for a human being, a life, you know, so emotionally or physically. So, no, I don't think so. No, I believe that we should try to stop it before it starts. If we can do that, we can try to get somebody, you know, teach everybody about, you know, and but it's just, I mean, this world, you know, Angela, in this world, it's just so much madness. And, you know, again, we just have to do our part, you know. And I'm going to do my part the best way I can. As a teacher, as an individual who works around children, works around single women, you know, and men who are very fragile, you know, I'm going to do my part to... go be right by them. You know, that's me. And I want everybody that's listening to me, my friends or anyone, you know, martial artists, that you need to do the same thing, please. It's very, very important that we stay focused on, doing the right thing.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Senior Grandmaster Craig R. Smith?
I thank you, Angela, and the Angela Butler Show, for allowing me again to come on your show and to speak, you know, and I thank you again, and to all the listeners, and I wish you nothing but peace and God's blessings.
Thank you, Senior Grandmaster Craig R. Smith. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for helping educate the general public, and I look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much. I look forward to coming back.
All right. Thank you. Listeners, we've had with us this afternoon Senior Grandmaster Craig R. Smith. He is a very knowledgeable and intelligent guest. As you heard him say earlier in the show, he has had the opportunity to be in the same family as Bruce Lee. So he's also been in Enter the Dragon, which they did not get credit for, the Black Karate Federation. But you can Google him, and you'll find out who he is, Original Warrior Association, Craig R. Smith. All right, listen, if you want to know who he is, I thank you all for tuning in to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to having you back. And everyone have a good night.